It's Thursday, February 10th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a product of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, everyone, I got a great show for you. Boy, we are a lot late getting started, and a lot of it's to do with our famous Ustream, but you don't want to hear about that. Got a great show for you. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran, and of course, you check us out over at geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Check out our archive podcasts available via the podcast link on the website. And of course, get subscribed to the show. You'll find the subscription sidebar in the second column of the website. We have all kinds of feeds for you there. We've got a place where you can get the audio feed of the show, the video feed. You can sign up for the Saturday morning tech show, which we'll talk about here in a second. We'll also got the link to the special media feed. And for those of you that have been really suffering under the very just absolutely abysmal performance of the video downloads from Blip, no more. All the videos now are being served by my high-performance CDN, so you should not be seeing any buffering. You should get high-performance viewing of all the special media content. So I apologize about that, but all that's been changed out, and you're good. So definitely check out all the great content on the special media feed as well. We are in the downhill stretch of all the content from Vegas being up. And I expect within the next couple of days, the last of it to be put online, which is really very, very exciting. So it's all up to the Geek News Central bloggers and whether or not they're able to get all the things posted. And then I get in there and approve the actual postings. Well, it's been an interesting evening. I'm about 40 minutes late starting the show. And, just ran into some problems tonight, technical problems getting started on the video feed. It's important to me to make sure that the recording gets done. And of course, our TriCaster's recording the show as well, but it's always important that I make sure that the, just try to hit all the right marks so that we keep the show process and flow going. But, no matter what, many of you are going to watch the show in replay or later anyway. But, or if you're subscribed, you're going to be getting the audio download or the video download. Get signed up for the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to cover in the show tonight, including links to all the articles. It's important to get signed up for that. That way you'll never miss really all the exotic show notes. And for those of you that are on the, listening to the Saturday Morning Tech Show, I'm going to start a special newsletter for that as well. So there'll be a newsletter column here in the next couple of days. You can get signed up for the show notes from the Saturday Morning Tech Show. Of course, if you want to watch us, you can always watch us over at Roku or on the Boxy. The content's always up there. And of course, I want to give a warm thank you to all of our sponsors. GoDaddy.com is a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central, and they've really taken care of the show and taken care of me. So I hope that you'll consider them as your domain register. And when you, let's see, actually, what's going on here? Todd has to make a change setup. I want monitor 2. There we go. So let me go ahead and fade this in for you. So really, GoDaddy.com, great place to get .coms, hosting accounts, virtual dedicated servers, you name it. And when you get over there, I got some great promo codes for you. You can go into geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy and find promo codes like Todd will save you 10%. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Of course, you can use the Geek199 code if you're a new customer, getting a $1.99.com domain name. Todd20 will save you 20% on a 1-year shared hosting account. And we've got our special code going on right now. CES 25, which is a very limited, time-sensitive offer where you'll get 25% off on brand new purchases for new customers only at GoDaddy.com. Find all those links again at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Well, how many of you drink soda or pop or depending on where you are, a cola or whatever it may be, Coke? Some of you call everything's a Coke. Here in Hawaii, starting, I guess, July 1st, every time we pop the top to a soda, it's going to cost us an additional 25 cents because the state of Hawaii has just put a 25-cent tax, or at least it's proposed, and as much money as they have to raise due to being short on, basically state budgets and so forth, we're going to be paying 25 cents a can in tax. They're saying we're getting too fat on soda, so that's their reasoning behind, essentially making us all pay this hefty tax. So they went after cigarettes first. Now they're going. They went after alcohol. Now they're going to go after soda. So what's next? Potato chips? What else? Candy bars? What else can they? You name it, they're going to do it. Whatever they, all those little small things that we all like, and they're going to go after it in a big, big way. So it is what it is. Hey, got exciting news. A new show is coming to Geek News Central. Finally, we are going to be launching one of many shows to come this year, a brand new show. It's going to be a gadget show. I'm not announcing the name yet. I had a great discussion with the future host of the show. He's a fan of Geek News Central. And we spent quite a little bit of time on the phone talking about the structure and what it's going to be about, and I think you guys are really going to like it. He's basically going to record the first, I'm going to put the first one in the can for me so that we can kind of look at it and see how it looks. But I'm excited to be able to bring this to you guys, and we're moving swiftly forward with that. So one down and probably four shows to go this year on launching. And, what's kind of funny is I had all these thoughts on how everything would be structured, because anytime you're bringing a new guest, or not a new guest, a new host onto the Geek News Central platform, it's really a situation where you want to have everything kind of in black and white to very begin with, because you just don't want to have anything that would be questioned later. You want to have this great relationship and create great content. But, it kind of sucks. You almost have to have a contract that spells out everything in black and white and who owns what and who does this and what's expected there and what happens if we get a divorce. All these things that you have to really kind of account for so that later on there isn't this he said, she said type thing, or there's basically a fingers being pointed. That's never cool. And you always want to have a great relationship. And if something, if you decide that you don't want to continue, then there has to be, that framework. And so I was working on that. I'm like at 3 pages, and I hate anything that's really over. If you can't say it in one page, it just gets ugly. So I'm trying to parse things down, and then I'll be sending it over, and then we'll kind of hash back and forth. And he's kind of, I guess I said it was the guinea pig. He's going to be the guinea pig host, because we've got to get this right and make sure it's good for both of us. And if it makes sense, then we'll move forward. But I am, without a doubt, really excited about this new show coming to Geek News Central. Again, it's going to be a gadget show. We haven't figured out the actual show date or something. We'll work it into the schedule. But I think you're going to be excited as well. Some cool stuff coming to Tech Podcast as well. I sent out an email to some members over there today. We're going to be working on a new project that's going to be getting going. Lots of cool things coming, and with that, I'll be honest with you, we have to pay for it all. So what's going on that front is that today I officially announced, or we officially announced over at Raw Voice, a sales position, and we're actually going to bring that salesman into our Columbus office. So if you are in Ohio, Cincinnati, Columbus, if you need a job, and you're a sales and marketing person, and you've got more than 2 years worth of experience, just go over to rawvoice.com, click on the jobs link. You'll see the description there. submit your resume and everything else. We'll be starting interviews very quickly. So I'm excited about going through that process and finding a sales guy. We're going to bring a sales guy in full time and really to not only sell for this show, but the other 7,500 shows that in my official podcasting hat at Raw Voice, we just have to ramp that up a lot more. And that's what this guy's or gal is going to do. So we're looking forward to being able to move forward with that. So really, it's kind of exciting on that front. So we'll see what happens there. I'm kind of pumped up about it. It was a big step for us to make this decision. And meanwhile, the show continues to be sponsored right now by a number of sponsors. Of course, we want to thank Audible at audiblepodcast.com/CES. Get a free book on me. Go over there and get a free trial. You know, it's you're going to get something free. Okay. All you got to do is go over and sign up, get the free trial. You decide you don't like it and use it immediately. You know, go pick up a book, download it, check it out. You're going to get hooked. You're going to get hooked immediately. And you're going to be an Audible customer for a long, long time. So again, audiblepodcast.com/CES. And if you had kind of these quirks about, I don't want somebody to read to me. It's not like that at all. And as I was telling you on the last show, I was actually taking notes. I was actually listening to a technical book and I was taking notes. I was actually writing on my iPad and the notepad thing. And I went back and I wouldn't have been able to read, write. It just didn't work, but listen and write was perfect. And what I'm finding now is that I have one of those little dictation deals. So when I'm driving and I'm alone in the car and I'm listening, and I find something and I'll go, oh, that was cool. So I'll just go ahead and kind of talk over the speaker. I'll just, you know, I'll have the little dictaphone thing there and I'll make a comment. So it really has worked out good. So audiblepodcast.com/CES, get your free trial. And, you know, if you don't have time to listen to a podcast, you can listen to a book on your commute and it really, really works. Okay. Saturday Morning Tech Show is a go. We are on. We'll have Rob Greenlee on from Zune, Jeffrey Powers from Geekazine. They're going to be on with me Saturday morning, getting started at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. And we'll probably talk for about an hour and 45 minutes, maybe up to 2 hours about just what's going on in the space. And so join us and you'll have fun and be involved in the chat. So what else here is in my list? Yes, you can still underwrite the show if you want to become a special sponsor for one show only. Become an underwriter, drop me an email at geeknews@gmail.com, and I'll let you know how that works. And, of course, if you got comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. All right, we're streaming on the front of Geek News Central right now with Justin, and we've got Ustream up on the other channel because it finally came up. But I hope you're watching live. If you are, feel free to drop something in the chat window at live.geeknewcentral.com. Okay, let me look at my list here. You can always go over to geeknewcentral.com/insider, become an insider, and we appreciate all of you that contribute to the show. I owe you a massive insider, basically, edition, and that is planned, and it's on my to-do list this weekend, so a special edition of the Insider is going to be put together, and I'm going to be sharing with you guys some stuff that no one else is getting information on. So I think you guys will like that. So become an insider and get really on the inside connection of the show. So, and of course, pick up your Ohanaware at cafepress.com/Ohana. And of course, I want to give a warm welcome to all of the Ohana, all of you that are longtime subscribers of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Really, you are what makes this show really rock and roll. Of course, we love the new listeners and we love, you know, everyone that really, if you've been here just a couple of shows, you're part of the family. So, you know, thanks for being part of the Ohana. And, I really, really mean that. What else is going on here? I think that's it. I'm looking at my, my list. This has been a pretty good week, very productive. And, the honey and I are going on a date Saturday night. Kids are staying home. So I'm pretty, you know, it's date. We don't do enough date night things. So fellas, you know, Valentine's Day is right around the corner here, right? It's on Monday, right? So make sure you take your favorite lady out if you're, you know, before, if you're not going to take her out on Valentine's Day, take her out this weekend. So kind of a little bit of a plan of a very nice restaurant that we haven't been before. Got the reservations in. And, of course, got a little special surprise going to wait, be with her for her when we get there as well. So it's love is in the air. So go ahead and make sure you're in, you know, ladies, vice versa. You know, really in Japan, I've told this story before. In Japan, fellas, Valentine's Day is really number one for guys. You know why? Because the guys don't give the girls nothing on Valentine's Day. The girls all give the guys something. But don't worry, they get theirs. There's a date, I guess, about a week later when the you have to do the, you know, the reciprocal giving. And so we don't get out scot-free. But it is interesting how they kind of flip it around in Japan. But my wife is very Americanized at this point, and none of that happens here. And I better bring flowers home and not delivered. And it's that's a good tip for all of you guys out there. Okay, so let me go ahead here, and we'll talk just a little bit real quick about Luxor. If you're going to Vegas, we want you to stay at the Luxor Hotel and Casino. It is a great hotel. I had a great experience there. Great rooms. Lots of entertainment. It was awesome. It really, really is. And they got the best rates. And you're only going to get it through our website for not much longer. So make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com, click on the Luxor link, plan that little getaway out to Vegas. And when you stay in Vegas, stay at the Luxor. They took care of us for CES in grand style. We hope that we know that they're going to take care of you as well. So there's some serious promotions out there right now. They've got a great one running between now and September 30th. You can, if you book today, you're going to essentially get some complimentary upgrade to a Tower Deluxe room. You're going to get some a coupon off steak and seafood dinner. You're going to get a complimentary admission to the Cat House Ultra Lounge. And you're going to get 25% off retail purchases. So definitely check out this special deal going on and a way to get some, really, this stuff will almost pay for itself when you're in Vegas. So if you haven't decided to go out there, great time to make a run out to Vegas and have a little fun. Okay, let me go ahead here. And again, geeknewscentral.geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. I got a stack of tech for you, and I'm already like crazy late on getting into the show content. Is that right? That going that quick? Let me look at the other clock. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. All right, let's get into it. Over on skepticblog.org. China's ghost cities. Well, there's these rumors out there that China is building these massive cities that are empty. And over on Skeptic Blog, they diffused this. And I had heard before about this conspiracy theory about China building these massive cities with basically our money and not moving anyone into them. But if you look at some of the images that people are saying on websites that show that there's no one around, kind of debunks this. But it's a good write-up. Not techie, but I thought kind of cool. So I have the link up for you in the show notes. Hey, we know there's going to be a very close approach to a comet here on the 14th. And the folks over at space.com have a pretty good write-up on what's going to be accomplished and what they're going to be collecting and the information. I have that up in the show notes. You can check that out. And I love what they're doing with this new, basically, information type sheet that they're coming out on sites from time to time. It's pretty awesome. You can stick it up on your website whenever you want. All right, I got to show you this cool picture that came up. And again, I got some good space news for you right here in the beginning. But I think we've all seen this image right here. And I'm going to bring this up for you in the on the live stream. And it's what it is. It's the nebula. And we've seen this before. This is on posters. But what the NASA has done is they have zoomed in on areas that they're just some exciting findings, or basically Hubble's just allowing them they get so much more information than they've ever had before, and some pretty cool pictures here. But you know, one thing I think that's interesting is that, and what they also do is they have areas highlighted where you can zoom in on this image and check that out as well. But one thing that was kind of cool in the top portion of the image, they've got this, it's basically a, just like a scale you would have on a regular map. And they show how big 10 light years are. They show you how big 4 parsecs are. And 3 arc minutes. So I really, to be honest with you, I got a little bit of a blonde moment here, but I didn't know that parsecs were an actual, I thought that was just a Star Trek thing. And I see it on an official NASA document. I was like, oh, well, maybe I ought to look up what a parsec is. So Google that. That's a good one for you. It really, really is. You may have seen this video before. It's the wide view. Basically, when a number of years ago, Hubble was pointed at what scientists thought was a dark piece of space, and they left the lens open for like 10 days, and what they found astounded them. And there's a good video on this. It's about 4 minutes. A good one to share with your kids. Especially if they're, you know, if they're doing some science projects with astronomy. But this particular article focuses on the Hubble effect and how Hubble has really transformed our view of the universe and the galaxy. And, you know, if you think about it, Hubble's been in space since 1990. And what we have learned since that time is truly amazing. But great write-up on this. I have the link up in the show notes. But the last thing I wanted to share with you on space news today was a stunning new view of the North American Nebula. And this is one that is now my new background in my desktop. And I'll bring this up for those of you on the stream. You can actually see it. This is astounding. This is astounding. It's just, you know, it's this massive, you know, birthplace of stars. And just, oh, it's crazy. It really is. The swirling landscape in this image is known as the North American Nebula. In the visible light, the region resembles North America, but in this new infrared view from NASA Spitzer Telescope, the continent disappears. You really can't see it, but it's an amazing picture in itself. Have a link in the show notes again for you. For those of you that are listening, you can check it out and make sure that I always find these cool space pictures that I think make great additions to backgrounds on the computer. So when I see people, they always want to say, okay, what you got new? What you got new? And I always show them. And sometimes they've seen them, sometimes they haven't. Hey, those of you that have got an AT&T 4G phone, there was a rumor out today that AT&T was canceling their unlimited plan for those of you that currently have them. Now, if you're going to get a new 4G phone with a new data plan, sorry, the new data plan is going to be priced around the same thing that the iPad is you're going to get 2 gigs for $25 with a $10 per gig overage charge. So this means that no longer are you going to be able to get unlimited 4G from AT&T. And this is really sad. It really is, because to date, Sprint is not throttling or putting bandwidth limitations on 4G. I used the heck out of my 4G when I was in Chicago the entire weekend, and I didn't have to worry that going against my 3G 5 gig total. So it's interesting that they are now reversing. So, you know, they've announced this unlimited voice plan. So this is a way for them to keep iPhone customers. So if you're an iPhone customer and you have a data plan and you have their data plan and the unlimited text plan, so long as you've got a 450 minute plan or above, and I think that's the lowest plan there is, what they have done is they're saying, hey, from here on out, and I don't know if you have to renew or do anything special, so make sure you check with AT&T on this, but they're going to allow you to do voice-to-voice calls to any other mobile phone. So voice-to-voice calls from any other mobile phone, unlimited. From here on out, you're not going to have to worry about minutes. So all you got to worry about is the data plan and the text plan. So the phone I have, my iPhone, I've got their like unlimited plan. I think I'm paying $120 plus I have data plus I have the text. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if this is the case, and I've been watching my iPhone bandwidth, and I've been using maybe 1.1, 1.2 gigs per month. I don't pay for the tethering. I'm thinking that maybe I can save myself $80 or whatever the delta is, $60 or maybe, you know, whatever the delta is between the plans, and not have to have unlimited voice anymore. But then I got to thinking, and I pulled up the statement online. I said, okay, how many of these are mobile calls? And I couldn't tell what was mobile and what wasn't, because I make a huge amount of business calls on the phone. So I'm calling businesses. So I may not be able to make the jump. But many of you probably do most of your calls mobile to mobile. So you're going to be able to make that jump whenever you want to. So is that the way to go? I don't know. Or did you switch to Verizon today? Verizon announced lackluster demand for the phone in their stores. Now, the exception to that rule was in areas where it was remote or where there was really no AT&T service. Fargo, I guess, North Dakota, I guess there was long lines in all Verizon stores because they haven't had AT&T coverage up there. So, you made the switch today. And if you made the switch today, I'd love to hear from you at geeknews@gmail.com. Tell me what you'd like about the phone, how the service is, how the calls are not dropping. You know, it really drives me crazy because I've got about now 6 spots when I drive from one location where I live to another, where if I'm on the phone with someone, I say, hey, by the way, I'm getting to a spot where I may lose you. And 50% of the time I lose them. The other 50% of the time the call will carry through. I never figured out what the deal with that is, but it's AT&T. And for me, it'll be the worst, the switch almost, to go to Verizon if I don't have the drop calls, because that's the last thing you want to do is you have a business call and have the stupid phone quit on you. So the question will be is, for when I want to hear from all of you that have picked up the Verizon iPhone, is how is it? How's it doing? And how's the call quality? And that's, I know you can't use the data and calling at the same time, but it might be a small price to pay for the benefit of not having drop calls. Okay, let me go ahead here and move on. Over on Android Central, at androidcentral.com, the BBC iPlayer app is now available. And I thought, oh, this would be kind of cool. But you have to live in the UK. You cannot get this app unless someone figures a way around to be able to get the BBC iPlayer app via their app store, and they can check it out. And so again, it's in the Android market for users, again, in the UK. And I don't think they charge for it, which is good, but it's got some nice stuff available on the BBC network. Now, one thing I heard about on BBC today that we'll talk about a little later in the show, actually, I learned something today about a hosting service I've never heard about before based upon an article I heard about the BBC, but I'll talk about that later in the show. You're really going to want to pay attention to this because this one kind of caught me by surprise. I went over to the website. I was like, how long has this stuff been available? And I'm not going to tell you anymore until we get there. But when I tell you about this, you're going to be like, maybe you're going to be like me. Or maybe you're going to say, Todd, I knew that was available. Are you dumb? So anyway, I'll share it with you here in a little bit. Hey, over on dondodge.typepad.com. He's got a good article about Beyond the Search Box, a search innovation dead, and it's basically comparing Google of 2000 to Google of 2011, and it's got a good write-up here. And do you think search is dead? Are you having more problems finding stuff on the net? You know, I actually was running an AdWords campaign for podcast hosting, and you know, I don't know how this is related. It is related to search. And what I got was my AdWords campaign denied because they say the word podcast is trademarked. It's not trademarked. Where did Google get that information? So I couldn't use the keyword in my AdWords campaign, podcast host or podcast hosting. I could do media hosting. I could do media new media hosting, but I'm trying to send stuff people over to our Blueberry podcast hosting. And yet I can't use the term podcast host. That's pretty, you know, pretty direct. But I'm looking at the iPhone result. I mean, the search results, and other people are queuing on those words. I don't know. I don't understand it. I really don't. But I'll try to figure it out, and I'll let you know. Of course, there's no place to contact Google and say, that word's not trademarked. But getting back to the article that I was talking about, this Beyond the Search Box, really they ask, is search innovation dead? And I don't know. I don't see nothing new. Maybe that's good. If you're a Yahoo fan, Yahoo has announced LiveStand news app for iPad and Android tablets. So they just announced this, came out late this afternoon, and LiveStand pitches it is that it allows personalization and local news, and Yahoo focus at this stage is on roping in publishers so that they get more people on there. They don't tell us too much about the end user, all the end user features or anything. They're apparently going to tie in Flickr, but I don't know if this is actually available to download. If it is, I'll pick it up and check it out. But how many of you picked up some of these new news apps recently, and what do you think of them? I just got to share this with you. This is over on Dvorak.org. And for those of you that are watching the live stream, I'll try to, I'm going to play this here for you. And I've actually got the, is this going to load? I think John Dvorak's website's a little slow, or either my web's a little slow right now. Well, anyway, what it is a video of a guy that's driving behind a, oh, that's weird. Google Chrome says I can't connect right now. Isn't that odd? Well, we're still up on the stream, so who knows? Long story short here, the semi in front of him had about 8 feet of snow on top of the trailer. And he drives underneath the overpass. Yeah, drives underneath an overpass. And pretty good video. And I'll have that link up in the show notes for you. You can check it out if it loads. I don't know why it's not loading here, but it didn't. But anyway, you can check that out. You can see the, looks pretty cool. Pretty cool video here. Yeah, eHome upgrades up is loading. Another story out today is that, Apple may be secretly working on a gaming support for Apple TV. Now, I don't know how they're going to do that because the Apple TV only has 8 gigs of onboard storage, and it's not that powerful. But maybe they're going to come up with a little, you know, a couple of kiddie games to show the potential there, or do it in the cloud or something else, or who knows. But can't do a lot with 8 gigs. But that is the latest rumor coming out of the Apple fanboy clubs, as well as probably the biggest announcement this week was HP's new tablets. The touchpad is really taking aim at the iPad in some very cool specs here. The tablet features a dual core 1.2 gigahertz ARM processor, 9.7 inch 1024 by 768 display, a 16 or 32 gigs of storage, 1.3 megapixel webcam for video chat. And this has, an audio card in it, 802.11n, Wi-Fi. It's got Bluetooth. It has a gyro accelerometer in it as well, and a compass. And the closure is 13.7 millimeters thick and weighs about a pound and a half, which I think probably gets it in there a little bit better than the iPad for weight-wise. But the demos and everything I've seen on it so far, really, really nice. And they've got some demo videos, and I got some stuff here that was put up from YouTube as well that that shows demos of the touchpad. So potential here. And what was big about this was it's not running Windows 7. It's running Web OS, which we probably all expected, but the UI has been completely updated. A couple of good articles that came out of some stuff that's been doing, well, actually some videos are doing very well view-wise. Any of you looking for a new shredder? Well, we did an interview, or Andy McCaskey did an interview at CES talking about the Black & Decker iShred paper shredder. And what this thing is, it looks almost like a speaker rather than being a shredder. But what I loved about this particular shredder by Black & Decker is now your shredder sits on the floor and you usually got stuff stacked on it. And mine does. If I come back to the video here, if we look, can you look behind me? Probably not. But right over my shoulders where my shredder's at, and there's papers that don't need to be shred. There's a couple of laptop bags and some other stuff are stacked. It's just, and then I have to move stuff and shred it. I'm sure everyone's shredder is about the same wide. But this shredder, you mount, basically you set it in your room and then you just feed the paper in sideways. And it's more natural. It's like you can reach over and just stick it in instead of having to have the shredder, a traditional shredder the way it is. So again, instead of feeding paper in the top, it goes into the slot on the side, and the paper gets collected into a regular waste basket. It's a cross-type shredder, and it can also handle credit cards. So don't know the price on this thing, but it's pretty doggone cool. Another video that's doing very well, and this is the one I'm really, really jazzed about. And actually, I missed two opportunities to get a set of these for free. But it's called Sculpted Ears. And any of you, actually, let me load this up in the, doggone it, here we go. Paste and go. This is cool stuff. Now, when you order custom earphones, generally, you're going to spend about $1,000. Okay? And you have to be fit. You have to go to someone to do the ear molds. It's a 2 or 3 step process. It just sucks. And, you can't pay as much as $2,000 for some molded earphones. Well, Sculpted Ears is going to have a kit. And this kit is for consumers to create their own custom molded earphones exactly shaped to your own ears. It's a 4-minute long silicone process. We've got an 11-minute video that shows the whole demo and how it gets done. Jeffrey Powers from Geekazine.com was the guinea pig for this. And it was one of those things like, oh, Jeffrey, you want this interview? We didn't even know. Or you want it? Jeffrey said, oh, I'll take it. Boy, I wish I'd have said I would take it, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to use those instead of these big cups that I'm using during the show. And they're hid, they're flat, and they just look a lot better for the camera. But when you see this process, you're going to be blown away. This is a home kit to do self-molded earphones, and the quality of the earphones is good. And again, 4 or 5 minutes, you're done. And this is going to be a big sell. $199 will be the price tag on that. All right, a few weeks ago, Angelo Mandato, our CIO at Raw Voice, one of his older email accounts on Gmail, again, an older one that he had used kind of for like signing up for a variety of different stuff, and that he was worried about putting an email out there. Someone social engineered what he used for resetting the password was a little bit easy. Not that easy, but a little bit easy. I wouldn't have guessed, but someone with the, let's just put it this way. His account got hacked. And they sent out that spam message saying, oh, I'm stuck somewhere and I need some money. I actually had someone try to scam me over Facebook chat one night doing the same thing. But Gmail has announced today advanced sign-in security for your Google account. What you're going to be able to do is you're going to be able to have a two-way validation to get into the account. So they're going to allow you to go in and basically, and this is going to be a little tricky here. They tell you to be very, very careful in deciding if you want to do this or not. But you got to use your username, put your password in, and then what it's going to do, it's not going to send you to your account, it's going to text you a verification code to get in on a specific computer. Now, once a computer is registered, you can set it up so that it will remember the verification for 30 days. So for like your house computer, you could just do that, right? Get right in, the verification's good for 30 days, you don't have to do it again. Or if you're at a friend's house, and you just want to do a one-time login, you do the login, you use the verification code, you don't set the remember flag, then someone's not going to be able to get into your email. So this is great. This is coming to all all of Google's products, all of Google's login stuff. So be advised, that is forthcoming. Very exciting stuff, and great security upgrade by the folks from Google and Gmail. For those of you that are Mac users, I found a pretty cool article on a piece of software called Sparrow, or maybe Sparrow. And this is over at lifehacker.com. And what this is this is a lightweight Gmail, basically it's an email client. And it kind of looks almost like a Twitter client. And I was looking at this, and I really am not a big fan of the built-in mail email stuff that comes with Macs. So always, and I do most of my email when I'm using my Mac on the web, but this was kind of cool. This is a nice little lightweight email client called Sparrow. I think it costs you $10, and you can download it from the Mac store. A pretty good one. If you want to give it a trial, I think there's a trial available, but it just, it's basic, just a little itty mitty basic email client for those of you that are Mac users. Another article over on Lifehacker was, did you know you can use mouthwash in your laundry to help kill bacteria? Isn't that why you use soap? I didn't quite got the crux of that article. But anyway, the one that I thought was the coolest, I saw this. I thought, oh my God, this guy has see-through monitors. How do I get some of those? Those are stylish and looking cool. And what he really did, he doesn't have see-through monitors. He's got a couple of nice Dell monitors on his desktop. And what he did is he took a picture of the room, and then he scaled the images that he has as a background to make it look like you can see through the monitor. And from aesthetic feature, for an aesthetic way, to make things look cooler on you, basically, not make it look like you got two computer monitors sitting there. This is really nice. A nice idea. You don't want to have to move your monitors around too much, but some of you guys are going to love this. And ladies, you're going to have to check it out. Especially if you have a computer monitor sitting in your kitchen somewhere where it just doesn't quite fit and it's a little gaudy at times, this is the way to do this. And once you see the image, it's on the article, that's all you're going to need to know. Just see it and tell, honey, take a picture, figure out how to put this on my desktop. Over on Reuters, been a lot of hoopla over the $10 billion valuation of Twitter recently. A lot of people are saying, it's not worth $10 billion. And been a number of articles that have been out. And even I kind of questioned, $10 billion for Twitter? That's billion dollars. You guys think about how much a billion dollars is. Think about Twitter. Think about what they're providing. Think about 999,999,900, you got me, right? That's just $1 short of $1 billion. And they're saying Twitter's valuation is between $8 and $10 billion. In all honesty, just like Facebook, I think they're all smoking a little something. But anyway, if they're willing to pay it, they think it's going to make it. But Reuters goes into the reasoning behind the valuation and really what the valuation is. They're paying for us. They're not paying for the service. They're paying for access to the information that we all put on Twitter. So for what it's worth, that's the bare knuckles of how that valuation stuff goes. There was another good one here. I wanted to talk about Huffington Post being purchased. And Huffington Post purportedly got $315 million, $300 million in cash, $15 million in stock from AOL. Did they have that much money still left? Anyway, of course, Huffington Post has been built by its user community. People are over there blogging for free, writing articles, a way to get exposure. I think they've got this 3,000 contributing bloggers, and only a small percentage of them actually get paid. And so what the ruckus is all about is some of these unpaid bloggers are like, hey, we got you here. Write us a check. Give us some of the rewards. We helped you get here. There's not that many of us. You can afford to give us you know, 10,000 each or whatever it is that they want money that they're asking for. But Huffington Post is like, why no? You're not going to get any of this cash. You're just the users. And, you know, you've got exposure by writing on the website. I'm going to tell you, this is one of the reasons why more than a year ago, actually, I think 2 years now, that I've been paying people that blog on Geekness Central. We started out at a rate that was probably a little bit too low on a per piece writing scale. And then for CES, I ramped it up really high and we got a huge, I'll be honest with you, my January blogging bill, just the blogging bill for January. If you guys just kind of want to know what kind of money I spend on keeping the content fresh at Geek News Central, the blogging bill was $2,000 in January. It'll be probably another $1,000 or $1,500 for February. Average, when we're not running any special content, the blogging bill is between $700 and $800 each month. Okay, that's for the bloggers that are blogging on the website. So we're not adding anybody new right now. Maybe in March I'll start adding some people new. And I've offered up, if someone wants to come on and be a guest blogger, then they'll get the next position as I'm able to afford to bring people on. But the point of the matter is, I've paid the bloggers at Geek News Central to do the writing. And it's a per article. It's by the article. And I'm also offering up now a new feature where we're going to have where I ask the writer to spend about 60 minutes on the article and actually put the extra time in. And I'm actually going to be paying more for that type of an article where it's a lot more research and time is put into writing the piece. And we're going to see how those do traffic-wise. We're going to try this experiment for a few months. But Geek News Central will never be bought for $300 million. And frankly, if someone came and offered me $300 million, write me the check. but we have enough traffic where I can afford to pay people to blog on the website because I'm busy doing other things and doing this show. So it's really, if I can afford to pay bloggers and I, in my small site, Huffington Post, I'm sorry, $315 million. Pay your bloggers. Don't be a bunch of cheapskates. And it goes much deeper than that. This is an article, this is something that came up recently with Scoble was basically telling a company out, Yammers, they were saying, when are you going to start rewarding the people that help build your communities? And he got a funny look. And he said during our chat, I asked him when companies would be compensating people based on the value they're pouring in the system. He got a very strange look. He'd asked that same question a year ago to Salesforce CEO Mark Benioff, the same question, and he got the same strange look. So here's the thing. Should users that are loyal help build a community by adding content like Twitter, like Robert Scoble, who drives traffic, to people like me who talk up companies, and for people and for those of you that listen to this show and help support it and allow me, when we get bought, or if I ever get bought, you know, who knows if that would ever happen, should you be rewarded for being part of the community and making that happen? It's an interesting proposition, isn't it? It's interesting to think what would happen if you had more ownership. And that was part of the thing with the insider thing. I wanted to be able to structure it so that the top insiders would have a little more ownership in the site. They wouldn't like to be an investor, but they would be supporting the show and helping things grow. So the question is then, you know, should we as a user of services and as me as a business owner, should we be thinking about rewarding those power users that are out there talking us up, driving people to the show and so forth? Other companies give rewards for referrals. If I send someone to, you know, if I send a customer somewhere, sometimes I'll get a bounty for that, or I'll get, you know, if I turn someone onto an alarm company, like my alarm company, they'll give me 90 days free of alarm service for sending them a new customer. So the question is, should this work in social media sites and Twitter and Yammer and Huffington Post and, you know, all these other sites? Or should the spoils just continue to go just to the reward of the person that built the site? I'm about sharing. I'm thinking that there's got to be a way to reward loyalty, you know? And it can't, maybe it can't happen right now, but can you imagine, just hypothetically, that if this show was getting ready to get bought, and of course I wouldn't say nothing, and then the day it did, I said, hey, everyone that's, you know, everyone that I'm showing is an active subscriber, and I know that we can, you know, from user counts and from people that have called the show and comments and call-ins and everyone that has supported the show that way, do you think then I can say, hey, each of you are going to get a grand for being part of the family and growing the community? Would that be like the coolest thing in the world to be able to do? I think it would. And I look at the comment box, and let me see how many actual comments are in the comment box. There are 3,262 comments that came into the show, and this is not even all of them. This is only, look at me, through 2011 through the since 2008. Okay, so 3 years, there's 3,200 comments, and many of these are duplicates. You got guys like Trucker Tom. He sends in a couple comments a show. You know, I take that and divide that out. So, man, Trucker Tom contributed 500 articles. He gets $2,000. I don't know. Are we on to something? Is there a legitimacy to this? How do you quantify it? I don't know. Love to hear your feedback. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. An interesting support model that I just found too over at GigaOhm was a do-it-yourself ad sales. A guy's doing a video, does a home cooking show. It's called the Daily Series WTF, What's This Food? It's a tailored and it's for sponsorship by small businesses as opposed to big brands. On January 1st, he charged $1 for the advertising. On January 2nd, $2. On December 31st, the advertising for the show that day will be $365. And if you do the math, if he gets a sponsor every day all the way throughout the year at the rate of a dollar increase per show, and he does $1 a day, he does product drop placement and stuff in there for the sponsor, about $80,000. That's pretty cool. That's not a lot of money for doing 365 shows and spending about, if you think about 4 hours of work a day, every day. Let's do the quick math here and see what the per hour, because I always like to do that, right? $4, 4 hours times 365, that's 1,460 hours. So if you take the money he would earn, and so he's going to make like $54 an hour. Not bad if he sells every spot. $54 an hour. That's probably more than a lot of people make. That's before taxes, of course. So if he's at $80,000, he's going to probably pay $10,000 or $12,000 in taxes on that. Depending on where he lives, it might be nice living. So kind of an interesting model. The question is, will he be able to make it work all the way through day 365? Don't know. I wonder if that would work with this show. What do you guys think? You think that's a model I should try here for an underwriter? Problem is, I only do two shows a week, so the price would have to go up sequentially. And I'd have to figure out how to make it to get to 80,000. I don't know if I could. Anyway, let's talk about a cool little product. How many of you carry on water bottles? How many carry water around a water bottle because you can't stand drinking tap water? Well, for $10 to $13, you're going to be able to buy a little filter that goes inside your own water bottle. It's got a carbon-based charcoal filter in it that basically makes the water taste better that you're getting out of your tap that is probably generally safe to drink. It's called the Bobble. And again, it's a water bottle that has water filled built into the cap. It has, has a water filter built into the cap. $10 to $13 to replace it. I don't know how many bottles you get out of one of these, but it smells better. And so definitely worth taking a look at. And this was over at Amazon and at bookofjoe.com. And I actually found it at Ogizmo. All right, Internet 9 is available. Internet Release Candidate is here. So if you want to check out Internet Explorer 9, check out the article. You'll be able to get the release candidate. Safe to put it on there. The South by Southwest 2011 media BitTorrent file is available. 4.49 gigs of free music. About 700 songs. I've downloaded this every year. Lots of great music on there. Again, the South by Southwest 2011 BitTorrent of 4.49, royalty-free, non-RIAA-controlled music, 720 songs is available now. Now, have you ever heard of Seedbox? Well, a BitTorrent user and a $4 Seedbox account saved 172 BBC websites from extinction. BBC announced recently 360 staff members being laid off. This guy said, hey, they're going to kill 172 sites. Let me go download them and put them up somewhere. So he downloaded all 170 websites, put them in a zip file, and then put them on a Seedbox account. So my question was, what the heck is a Seedbox? So I went in, and of course, I Googled Seedbox. And lo and behold, here's Seedbox hosting. Unlimited usage Seedbox. So I'll just click on the one that tier that is in the... cost them a few bucks for the and let me put this actually up in the website here. You guys can check this out. I've never heard of this. And you know, I used to do a BitTorrent seed and I used to go through all gyrations to make it happen. Well, now you can get a server online that does nothing but seeds a file for you for a BitTorrent. This is cool. This is really cool for 100 gigs of disk space, 100 megs network speed, unlimited bandwidth, $14.95 a month. It includes RSS, auto-downloading, drag-and-drop files directly from the Seedbox using Windows Explorer, stream video from your Seedbox without downloading or unrawing first. I'm going to check this out. Does anybody else know about this? How come I have missed this? I feel like an idiot because this is perfect. Unlimited bandwidth, unlimited torrents. I could expect Geek News Central videos because, my God, you guys have no idea how much it's cost me to deliver the video. I could imagine a BitTorrent feed coming to this show very, very soon. And, the $24.95 a month would save me a lot of money if enough of you switched and used BitTorrent to download the video portion of the show. We got to get this whole BitTorrent thing built into, well, if it was just built into iTunes, man, or Roku or any of these other devices, think of the money we could save. You just have no idea. So anyway, you get the BBC websites from the Seedbox account or get your own. And again, for legitimate uses like mine, this is perfect. Some comments, I should have covered this earlier, but IE9 and why Microsoft still sucks. For those of you that are using XP, you got to get an upgrade. It doesn't work on IE9. So don't upgrade if you're still on XP, okay? Over on Mark Cuban's website, the most interesting thing about this year's Super Bowl, no 3D. And I was like, oh yeah, no 3D of the Super Bowl. Wasn't that one of the big things for the Super Bowl, 3D? All right, the Vatican has come out. Remember we talked about that confession app? The Vatican is saying, hold up a second here. It's essential to understand that the rites of penance require personal dialogue between penitents and their confessor. It cannot be replaced by computer application. I must stress to avoid all ambiguity. Under no circumstances is it possible confessed by iPhone. And this was actually, this iPhone was built by some Catholic bishops. So I wonder if the Pope is mad at him. I can imagine getting called into the Pope's office. Why did you put... I wouldn't want to be on the receiving of that butt chewing. All right. Quantum fluctuations may melt ultra-cold glass. Now, when glass gets near Kelvin, yes, Kelvin, glass, just as it melts when it gets heated, actually is melting as well. They found some new science out that got scientists scratching their head a little bit, but it's quantum fluctuations causing glass to melt at near Kelvin. So how cold does it get in space, in the space shuttle with windows? I guess you have to heat the windows, yeah? All right, in Florida, I'm sorry for those of you that live in Florida. Man finds rocket on road. Yes, he found a rocket on the side of the road. He picked it up, and he took it to a police station. A rocket on the road. Put it in his vehicle. It didn't blow, but who would ever do that? Here's a good article about what if Facebook never does an IPO. I have the link in that. Rumors on the street, Twitter is in talks with Google or Facebook about selling. Please, Twitter, don't sell to Google or Facebook. I want to rant. Boy, I'm running long, but I want to rant here just a second about tech meme. I've used Tech Meme for a long time. I find it to be a very good source of new information and new tech stories that are breaking during the day. But it really pisses me off that they are now whitelisting celebrity bloggers to allow their comments to automatically get posted to Tech Meme. You know how much traffic Tech Meme gets a month? Do you know how much advertising they charge? Do you know how much power there is? One Tech Meme primary article is good for about 25 to 35,000 hits on a single article. If you make the headline, it's about 30K worth of hits. And yet they're going to allow these celebrity bloggers to be whitelisted and have their stuff pop. That is just, oh, it irks me. Not that I'm not included in that group, but it's like the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. You know, it's like these guys in Silicon Valley, you know, they wipe each other's behinds all the time. And it's just a self-protect. You know, if you're not in the valley, forget it. It just, I can't believe no one's saying anything about this. So, I guess we're all back to Twitter and our 140 characters of constrained talk. Congressional Sprint added subscribers in the first time since 2000, well, for a while, subscribers to their database. Some new Facebook features on tabs for pages. For those of you who have pages, make sure you follow my Facebook page. I closed down one. I had two Geek News Central pages on Facebook. Some of you that were over on the old page, I sent you an email basically saying we're moving to the other page. So please follow the page over there. The new iPhone from Verizon carries $171.35 worth of goods. They feel it costs about $7 for them to manufacture it in China. So about $178 total cost to build the iPhone that you're getting from Verizon. Facebook has also announced today that they are disallowing apps from running Google Ads. A little more strike across the bow there for good old Facebook. I will skip that article because I'm out of time. That one too. Great article on Ars Technica talking about the real internet censors, unaccountable ISPs, and this is a little bit scary because ISPs have at this point not been, you know, they're supposed to not police their users. But what they're finding in the UK is that there's a lot of web page blocking going on. ISPs are acquiescing to companies without court orders and so forth and are doing takedowns. blocking specific pages on websites. We have to watch our ISPs like a hawk. We really do, and we need to stay on top of it and make sure they don't do things that they should be held accountable for. So just keep an eye on your ISP and don't be afraid to call them out. I'd have your blog in a different service than where your internet service is from, but it is a little bit of an eye opener. It really is. All right, Sony has gotten a go ahead by a judge to inspect the PlayStation hacker's hard drive. PlayStation 3 jailbreaker George Holtz must allow his console maker Sony to comb through his computer's hard drive to find out what information he's got in there about hacking the PlayStation 3. So I wonder if this guy had already striped this thing already or not. Hey, this is over at Slashdot, and if this doesn't just really just grab you a little bit, it should. Quote, Chinese hackers working regular business hour shifts stole sensitive intellectual property from energy companies for as long as 4 years, using relative unsophisticated intrusion methods in an operation dubbed Night Dragon, according to a new report from the security firm McAfee. Wow. You're in a country, red communist China, where you're being paid by the government to hack into computers in the United States. Something's wrong with that picture, folks. And it's too bad we're so stupid to not have our systems locked down so these guys can't get in there and get this information. Australian government official fired for Googling a specific keyword from his home with his office laptop. He had his office laptop at home plugged in the internet. And he did a little searching for some material, and he's gotten fired because of it. So if you've got a work computer, don't be Googling for material that is non-work related. It can be considered inappropriate. Great story on TechDirt about individuals trying to buy music, trying to buy software, and not being able to because of the country they live in or restrictions and not being available and just the frustration people are going through and actually paying for content and what's causing people to steal content. This is a great article. This is one of the top reads for tonight. You got to check this out. Again, it's titled on TechDirt. Once again, if you don't offer authorized versions of released content, don't be surprised if people get unauthorized copies. Another great article is talking about how Time Warner is whining about how it's not allowed to pretend it offers fiber to the home. You guys know that for many years, Oceanic has hinted in their advertising that they have fiber to the home. No, they don't. They have fiber to a pole, and they bring wire into the home. But they can't seem to get over the fact that the advertising boards are saying you can't do this anymore. All right, on the last show, I made a big mistake talking about Anonymous and this CEO called Aaron Barron. I hope he's a soon-to-be ex-CEO. And all I can say is I got the article completely jacked on the last show. So I want to set the record straight. I actually got some email on it as well. You got to read through this. And this guy, what an egomaniac he is, in my opinion. If he is still working with this company, he's cost them millions of dollars and really was on the verge of naming people that were not guilty and met with the FBI and the Justice Department. This is a fiasco of unbelievable proportions. And what impact happened to the company afterwards with Anonymous going after them was significant. But what he did obviously asked for what they got. I would not have been wanting to be on the receiving end of this attack, but he should not have been doing what he did. And I just looking for publicity for his company. So the best article I found on is a 3-page section over at ArsTechnica.com. And this is a security firm who essentially ultimately got hacked by a 16-year-old. So I have that link up in the show notes. Boy, that's the company you want to hire, right? Got hacked by a 16-year-old. Give me a break. All right, I got a couple of voicemails. Let's get into those real quick, and then we'll knock through the emails as well. Okay, here comes up. Oh, I got to plug this in because I was jerking around with this stuff earlier. Hang on. All right, let's see if you can hear this.
Hi, Todd. Brian from Ontario, Canada calling. I just started catching your show here about the last month or so on my iPhone on the podcast, and I just wanted to call and say that I really enjoy your content, and keep up the good work. And hopefully I'll call back again sometime, okay? I know you don't get enough calls. You like to have more calls, so people should be calling. I don't know why they're not.
It goes.
Anyway, I do really enjoy the show, so take care and keep up the good work. Bye
hey,
for now.
Hey, thanks for the call. You know, it's the calls go up and down, and it's kind of one of those things that's an ebb and flow. And, you know, generally, you know, we get one or two calls or none. So it's not that big a deal. And I like to hear your guys' voices and hear what you think about the show and comments about the content. So appreciate the feedback. And for anyone else that wants to call into the show, do so at 619-342-7365. Here comes the next voicemail.
Hey, Todd. It's Seth from Michigan giving you a call.
Hey, Seth.
I'm actually calling about the Tech Morning shows you air on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
I've listened to the majority of them, and they're really good. The few that I have not listened to is not at all because I haven't had the time. That's not the problem. The problem is that I just can't seem to find them.
Oh.
I am guessing that you probably have some big banner right on geeknewscenter.com or some really obvious link that I am just totally missing. But I just can't seem to find them all. I think you're up on episode 7 or so, and I've listened to the first 2 or 3 just as they were up on your newsfeed. Really easy to find as long as I check on Saturday or Sunday. But once the newsfeed doesn't carry the actual show link, I can't seem to find it.
Right.
So if you could just let us know what the link is, or if you don't have a easy-to-find link, if you can make one, like, I don't know, geeknewscentral.com/TMS, something like that. That'd be great so we can actually see not just one show, but all the shows right on there so we can listen to them all. That'd be great. Thanks for a great show and stick up. All right, bye.
Hey, what I need to do is what it is the morning show stuff is in a category feed. And I have I haven't redesigned the top header of the website, but where it is, where the actual audio feed and all the episodes for the morning show, right? It's at geeknewscentral.com/category/TMS. And we're actually on show number 10. This Saturday will be show number 11. So obviously I've got the RSS feed for the video on the subscribe side of the site. I need to just add the audio subscribe link as well at the top so you can subscribe to it. What another little trick you can do to actually get to the morning show is on the subscribe sidebar at the Morning Tech Show, click on the orange RSS button. Then what that'll do is that'll take in the RSS feed, and actually the links to the actual shows are there. Now, that's kind of a construed way to get there, and there should be a direct link on the website. But we really, the Saturday Morning Tech Show is kind of this afterthought that came, well, it was a new show we added last year, and I just haven't added the media link on the website. And now that we're going to be adding some more shows to the site, I need to really get that under control. But thanks for bringing that to my attention. Absolutely understand your challenge there. Obviously, when it's up on the website right away, you see it, and then after a day or two, it's gone because it's gotten driven down into the weeds. Another thing you can also do is click on the archive button for February or January, and you'll actually find stuff sometimes easier in the archives. But we'll get a direct link up there for you so that you just come to the website, bam, you're in there. Or get signed up for this new newsletter that I'll have available for everyone, hopefully, on Saturday morning. Got an email here from Luke. He's going to be one of our Android beta testers near as well. Got an email from Ron, my buddy here in Honolulu. He said, hey, Todd, on the last show, you were asking where to get batteries for UPS. Well, I've been using Battery Bills here in Hawaii for years now, and he has been great. You may have seen his commercial on local TV. Ron, I'll be honest, I don't watch any local TV. He says he's down in Mapunapuna, and he just opened a second store on Nimitz near Sam Choi's. He says all I do is give him a call in advance with the UPS model number, battery model number, tell him I need it, and I'm good to go. If you ask, he'll put them on the charger for you, so when you pick them up, the battery is mission ready. As for recycling your old battery, he'll take them. When I go to the store, I bring my old one, swap it out for a new one. All he does is batteries and the like, so I believe he has the capability to refresh the batteries on site. Can't ask more from that. I'm going to tell you, this is huge, Ron. This is BatteryBill.com here in Honolulu. Perfect. And I'm sure many of you have locations in your own hometown as well. So thanks for the heads up on that. And man, that was immediately went into my star list. And I'm actually going to be driving down that way here in a couple days. And we'll be giving him a call and picking up some new batteries. Thanks for the tip. And of course, I want to thank I don't want to use his snaggle. Thanks for your the email on me jacking up the HB Gary federal issue. Your note is well taken. You spent a lot of time on this. I just going to say, you said, hey Todd, in your last show you made an error, and I got it completely messed up. And he said, I've been following this story since it broke, and based on what I've been able to synthesize from a variety of sources, this is what appears to have happened. And it goes on and on. And actually, with your permission, I may make this into an actual blog post, if that's okay with you. And so anyway, thanks for this feedback. And I actually send you an email and ask if I can put this up on the website. Got an email here from Trucker Tom. Says, company books Ride to the Moon. SpaceX, the rocket company headed by serial entrepreneur Elon Musk, sold its first launch to the moon, a mission that gives Pittsburgh-based Astro Robotic Technology a Carnegie Mellon spinoff, an early lead, a $32 million race to land a privately owned rover on the lunar surface. And they're going to fly the rover, and they're also going to say for every 100 technology development, there's one that has a ride, ride booked. If, what is this? For every 100 company books ride. Okay. I'm an idiot. Company books or schedules or makes a reservation for a ride to the moon. I'll have this up in the show notes. Just forgive me, Tom. I'm just an idiot sometimes. And that was the emails that came in for the show. And we're actually going to finish just a little long today. Oh my gosh. Send your comments to geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. It's open 24/7. Don't be one of the fools like this company here. I just want to check this out before you leave. Listen to this.
Hey there, this is Rick Myers, and I'm sorry to bug you on your voicemail.
Oh,
but
really?
I had actually gotten your name and phone number from a lead list that stated you may be interested in earning some cash from home.
Well, I'm not interested in making some money from cash from home, but you know, it's amazing. It's amazing. I got another call. You guys got to check this out, because check, this guy's got the same thing.
Hi, this is Terry Niedecken. Sorry to bug you on your voicemail,
oh,
but your number's on a work-from-home list. Now, this is not network marketing. And it's,
you know, you wonder how much these guys, you can tell this is someone down south, and I know the economy's bad, but if someone calls me a cold call, hey, I got your name off a list. I heard you want to make some money from home. Who wrote that script? Guys, this is how you do it. Hey, this is Todd Cochran. I'm out here in Honolulu, Hawaii. And man, I tell you, I got something great for you. I have a business where you can work from home. You know, you just got to have some energy. That was terrible. I'd have set my kids up to writing a script for this and sell to this company. I bet you their leads are about 1 in 50,000. But yet, they're going to dial my voicemail line and try to sell me something where I'm going to work from home. I don't get it. I'm sorry. Times are tough, but I just don't get it. And of course, those two guys reading from the same sales sheet. Oh, love you all. We'll see you on Monday night. Actually, Saturday for the Saturday Morning Tech Show. Join me. We'll see you then. Otherwise, we'll be back here Monday night for the regular show for Tuesday and Friday morning release of the show. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Everyone take care and aloha.